Amen. Welcome to River of Hope today. It's been an absolutely beautiful weekend. I don't know if you're anything like me, but maybe you got outside yesterday and you were out there a little too long. If you are, you know what it's like to just be a little bit warmer than you want to be. I burn easily. Maybe you could tell by the blonde hair. And anyway, we had a lot of fun. We got out fishing. It's a free fishing weekend, so maybe that's you. You're not at a place where you're ready to jump in, buying the license and everything, but you can still get out. You can go fish for free. Amanda caught the first fish. If you follow us on Facebook at all, you saw her fish picture, but I followed it quickly and caught another one, and that was the end of the day. But we had a lot of fun yesterday. I want to do something before we really get into our announcements. I said last week that I was gonna share who won the first River of Hope Frisbee Golf tournament, and that is Mr. Jamie Cliver. You won our $25 Visa gift card. So congratulations on a good round of disc throwing. I believe you take that and turn that in. Is that right, Roland? Take that to the bank and they'll give you a gift card. So congratulations, Jamie. Thanks, everyone, for coming out 2 weeks ago. It really was an awesome time to celebrate 5 years at River of Hope with you. I want to highlight some stuff from last weekend because we had quite a few of you were not able to make it last weekend, and that's okay. But you're not able to go online to hear what took place. And one thing that you need to understand is when we bring in certain missionaries, we can't post their messages online. And the reason is there's persecution. There are people that are literally scouring the internet, trying to find out all the information they can to stop the work they're doing. And so the lady we had, I'm not going to share her name. That way, if we do put anything out today, I won't share her name. I won't share her location. I will share what she does. But that way, it's safe to put out there. Some friends of ours who are actually on our back wall, if you stop back there, maybe I'll point them out to you after we're not recording, connected us with this woman who is serving overseas, and she is helping in two safe houses for people coming out of human trafficking, for women coming out of human trafficking over there. Just, you know, I wish I could have some of the people who were here last week share the story, because it really was powerful to have her feeling a call of God in her life in an area where the Muslim religion is dominant. I think she shared with us 0.01% of all people in her region are evangelical Christian. 0.01%. If that gives you any idea what kind of an area they live in. But the government is even a Muslim-controlled government. You know, so they can't go in and do their work and share the gospel freely. They have to do that through relationship and through teaching these women coming out of this industry skills. She teaches job skills and helps them to learn how to sew and how to cook and how to do different skill trades that they can go and earn jobs. They get diplomas over there so they can go on and pursue other skills and jobs. And it's really neat. I wish you guys could have been here to hear that. We're going to be partnering soon again, hopefully. She has, they create their own jewelry that they sell. So hopefully we'll be able to have some of that here at River of Hope that you can purchase to help support their work over there. Just a really, really powerful, powerful time. That was last week. So before I start to preach at anybody this morning, let's do announcements. First of all, I want to thank you. If this is your first time coming out to River of Hope, we are honored that you have chosen to join us today. It really does mean a lot to us. And I hope that you have been welcomed in just like a family member. And that's one core of who we are, is that each and every person that walks through that door is like a brother or sister that we just haven't seen in a while. And we are glad that you are here, honored that you have chosen to join in worshiping Jesus with us this morning. Let's bow and pray before we take up our offering. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this beautiful weekend you've blessed us with. We just look outside and see the beauty of your handiwork and the blue skies and the greenery that is coming to life. Lord, we thank you. We just praise you. We praise you for all of the gifts and talents and skills that you've given us, that you've blessed us with. We know, Lord, that you are a provider, and we give back to you from what you have blessed us with. We ask, Father, that you would receive this offering, that you would bless it and multiply it for your kingdom's purpose. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You'll see an envelope in the seat back pocket in the chair in front of you that can be utilized for tithes and offerings, or there is the option to use a debit card out at the coffee bar as well. And you can do that after service if you need to. Just have a few quick announcements. Number one, is it's coming to be Bible camp season very soon, and we have kids camps available from anyone going into third grade through graduating seniors, and that is up at Assembly Park Camp, which is somewhere closer to Superior than here. It's north of Hayward, some I can't even remember the name of the place, but it's remote. It's beautiful. They're right on a lake. And it's just an amazing camp, amazing time for our kids to go up there. They get to relinquish their electronics for a week and check them at the door and go hang out with other friends and other people and just get closer to God and grow in their faith. So I would highly encourage you, if you have children within that age range, going into third grade through graduating seniors, there's a camp available for them. Our second announcement is June 11th. You may have seen the slide up on the screen. Alexa is going to be getting married this summer. So we are hosting a wedding shower. And this is a couple shower, so Alexa and Danny will be here. And guys and gals, we're all encouraged to attend and just show some love and support for Alexa. There is a pass, a sign-up sheet for some food that we'll pass around. So I'd encourage you to stay. That is next Sunday following service, Alexa and Danny's wedding shower. Number three, backyard barbecue signups. If you are interested in hosting a backyard barbecue, we really love backyard barbecues. I'm going to say it, and I'm being honest. Anytime we can, you know, I'm not just speaking for myself and Amanda, I'm speaking for the whole church. Anytime we can get together and fire up a grill and just have a good time, play some games, hang out in somebody's yard, that is an amazing time. It's a lot of fun. We really get to know each other much better than just being here. So if you're interested in just using your yard and your grill to host a little get-together for the church, usually we have pretty good turnouts. Please see Lacey. She's out there with Josh. So if you need to know who Lacey is, see myself after service, and I will connect you with her if you're interested in hosting a backyard barbecue. What do we do? One a month? Is that what we try? We try to host one a month. So we're looking for one family a month that's willing to have people come over to their house. Typically, we say, you know what, if at all possible, we hang out outside. You don't really have to worry about things inside your house too much. So we'll leave that up to you. If you're interested, see myself or Lacey after service. This morning, you might have heard me trying to yell over people talking in the foyer that it was our Hope 101 class. We're not exactly set up the best to be doing Sunday morning classes, but we do the best we can. This was our first session of a two-week crash course in Hope 101. Next week, we're going to try and finish up our membership classes. If you're still interested in becoming a member or interested in learning more about us, next week still is a good opportunity for you to come and join us before service. I would ask that you are here by 9 a.m. so we can get started and running right away and try to get some of the more important topics covered while it's still quiet in the mornings. So that's next weekend will be our last session of this series. And last announcement is our Ladies Connect is coming up again June 23rd. And will be there's a sign up out on the foyer table, information table for a Tim's Hill carpool sign up. There is more details on there, I assume. Hiking and dessert, I guess, combine, you know. I don't know about you, when I have dessert, I kind of feel like I need to do some hiking too. So we'll just get that taken care of for you. We are going to jump back into our Romans series this morning. It's been a few weeks since we've been in the book of Romans. We're going to dive back in Romans chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Romans chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read the text, then we'll pray before we dig into this morning's passage. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but you now have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. I think we're going to stop there for this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can read your word and reflect on its truth. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through us today. Speak through me. That you would speak as we read the text, as we discuss its passages, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord God, we thank you and we just praise your name for giving us your holy written word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love the book of Romans for Paul's straightforward, kind of blunt. He's very much like some people I know, where you can ask them a question and you know they're going to shoot straight and give you the answer whether you like it or not. And that's who Paul is. And I know some people in here who are like that. I won't incriminate anyone. Paul is like that. He's that guy who you just ask a question and you're looking for the sugar-coated answer, but you'll never receive it from Paul. He always kind of hits you and it might hurt a little bit, but then he comes back and he lifts you up and he encourages you. And we're gonna dive into this text. I can't, you know, it's been long enough since we were in Romans chapter 5 that I can't give you any recourse on what we last discussed, because I don't remember. But you can look online. And you can listen back to our last messages from Romans and catch up. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? It seems like a well-meaning question. Paul is kind of in this dialogue with himself. So as we read this, you see he's posting a question, but then he's also giving you the answer. And I'm trying to remember the specific term they call this. It's not dialogue. That's a conversation. Is it diatribe, maybe? I can't remember. Paul is asking a question, but then he's giving us the answer. So verse 2 is, of course not. Of course not. Why should we keep on sinning so that maybe God would show us more and more of his grace? It's kind of like testing God. It's kind of, you know, it's the idea that we can go into something and say, you know what, I can do this because I know that God will forgive me. And when we justify our own thoughts and our own actions based on the fact that we know God will forgive us, we are putting ourselves in a very, very difficult space. Very difficult space. And maybe if that's where we're at today, that we test life and we do things because we know that we have our safety net of Jesus, maybe we need to reassess how we're doing life. Verse 2 is, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? How can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined in him in his death? You see, if we have received Christ, if we have received salvation in Christ by faith, we have received the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, and that when he rose again, he took the key away from Satan, and he took that, and he took that punishment for us. But when he took the key from Satan, he took everything that was waiting for us with it. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? Actually, it's something I was supposed to announce this morning, and I forgot. We are going to be planning a baptism sometime in July. And as you can see, we don't have an area up here to fill with water, or at least not intentionally. We've tried in our foyer. That didn't go so well. So we go out to the lake, to Sackett's Lake, and we have a picnic, and we have a lot of fun, and we do baptisms. So here's my pitch for baptisms. If you are interested in baptism, I know we had a few people through our various Hope 101 classes that have expressed interest in baptism. Please see myself or Amanda after service, and we'll get you more details. Now, why is baptism important? Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. See, baptism represents, as we go under the water, that is the representation of Christ being buried. And then when we are brought back out of the water, it is the representation of Christ being raised from the dead. And it's actually a really powerful representation of uniting with Christ in that process. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. A lot of times we have to find something we can connect with, right? Like we can read words and we can understand what it means, but sometimes it just doesn't, we can't connect, we can't feel what it means. And in our Christian faith, in our journey, you know, we can go through salvation we can go through the faith journey without really connecting with Jesus. And I think if we do that, we miss the whole point. When we talk about baptism, as Paul is doing right here in our text, people often ask, you know, why is it important? Why, I was baptized. I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not at all convicting anyone when I speak of this. It's a true question that we get asked. You know, I was baptized as an infant, or I was baptized when I was younger. When we go through the process of baptism, I want to make sure I communicate this clearly. One thing we need to understand through the process of receiving salvation, and I hope we're all to this point, is that we understand that that is our own personal decision. Are we on the same page with that? That to receive salvation, it can't be my family's values. It can't be my mom's or my dad's values. It can't be my wife's values. I mean, it can be, but those values don't transfer to you. You need to make that decision yourself. It's not something that is willed or passed on. I've got some good ideas in my head. I don't know how to put them into words. I need you to understand that salvation along with baptism has to be your own personal choice. And the idea of coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ and just saying, you know, I've been baptized as an infant, great. That's amazing. It really is. It means that your family was looking out for you. It means that your family had the values that they wanted to instill in you, and now it's your turn to make that decision. And just as salvation needs to be received by you personally, baptism also has to be your own personal statement. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. The representation of baptism is that when we go under the water, we die with Christ. When we rise, we rise with Christ. The process of being under the water is thought of the cleansing. We understand that with salvation, when we accept Jesus Christ, we are cleansed of our sins. Our past is gone. Therefore, baptism represents a new start, a fresh beginning, a new birth, if you will. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. That statement is true is because when we are baptized, it represents our statement of saying, I am committing my life to Christ. I am ready to move on. I am ready to take this step and put my past behind me. And therefore, we're baptized and we accept what Christ has done with us, and we unite ourselves in his resurrection, death and resurrection, through the symbolism of being baptized in water. In verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Those few verses, when you really stop and think about them, are really amazing. You know, there's a lot of times I think you can relate with me on this, where through our faith process, we fall. You know, and a lot of times we can feel defeated and like we just completely messed up everything God has given us. And that maybe we feel like we can't take steps to get back on track with God. But if we read these verses and we understand that once we have received salvation, once we have been baptized and accepted what Christ has done with us through the representation of baptism, that sin holds no power over us. None. Does that mean we're not going to be tempted? No, it doesn't. Because even though sin holds no power, Satan still wants everything he can get. And he will do everything he can to try and take us off our path. Now, I believe in pretty full certainty that all of us here know and understand that there are things that happen in our life that are designed to take us off our path and our journey of faith. I believe we all know that on some level or another, and maybe you're beginning to realize that, and hopefully hearing that will maybe make you more aware that once you receive salvation, you have been set free from the power of sin over your life. That doesn't mean you've been released from the temptation that comes with your past. Okay? It doesn't. And what I'm saying is that there may be temptations in your life that will be with you till the day you die. It will get easier to stand on top of those temptations and tell them to go back where they came from if you believe with all your heart that what Jesus did for you set you free of your past and of your sin. And I hope that means something for someone here this morning. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Verse 10. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. There's a shift that needs to happen in our minds. And I need you to realize that as I preach to you, I'm also preaching to myself. The sin that we think has the tightest grip on us has something that it cannot break through. Let's see if I can clarify that. There are sins or addictions or things in our lives that oftentimes we feel will be, I'm not necessarily speaking in terms of life or death, but the end of us. You know, like that will be our downfall. If there's something that happens in my life, it will be caused by this, and you fill in the blank. And you know that that's your weakness, and you know that that's something that, you know, if there's something that's going to take you down, that's going to be it. But the thing is that sin, that addiction, that issue that you're dealing with, you're talking about, no matter how weak you feel when you have that thought, there is something that can defeat that power all the time, every time, without fail. That's the name of Jesus. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. Okay, did you hear that? You should also be able to consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive through Christ Jesus. You know, the more we flex that muscle of speaking in Jesus' name and commanding sin and thoughts to be gone from our mind, the stronger it gets. And the more we deal with our own personal issues and our own struggles, and the more we give it to Christ And we remind it that we are dead to the power of sin over our lives, and we are alive through the power of Jesus Christ in us. The more that temptation or that weakness might fade. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be gone. But I will tell you, you can get stronger. You can stand on the faith that you are above the power of sin in your life based on your salvation in Jesus' name. Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. It's easier said than done at times. That goes back to what we just spoke about. When we are aware of who we are, first of all, in our weaknesses, we need to know our weaknesses, right? Both physically, mentally, spiritually. It's important that we find out and we know what our weaknesses are. Well, why do I say that? How do you assess a situation if you don't know what the weakest link is? In terms of physical fitness, you're only as strong as your weakest muscle. That kind of makes sense. What good is lower body strength if you don't have anything else to go with it? Because you break at your weakest link. It's the same in our spiritual journey. If we go on with life and we don't admit our weaknesses, we don't ask God to reveal our weaknesses, then they tend to just stay in the background hidden, and they just come out, and that's what defeats us. There's a lot of correlation between our spiritual fitness and our physical fitness. And what you need to understand is that our spiritual fitness needs to be exercised just like our physical bodies need to be exercised. And the more we work on both facets of life, the stronger we become in both areas. And you all know that when you're physically stronger, you can do more things. You can have more energy. You can be more effective. The same is true with our spiritual life. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. If there's something that's true, you cannot serve God wholeheartedly if you're reserving parts of yourself for yourself, or for selfish reasons, or for sinful desires. The thought that Paul is conveying here is that we need to submit everything we are, every part of us, physically, mentally, spiritually, to Christ. If we allow ourselves to reserve parts of who we are for our own, you know what, this is such a broad area. There are so many different things that we could be holding on to that we're just kind of keeping our hands on as far as sin is in our life, and maybe it's something we've minimized. I can't even speak to you as far as giving you specific examples of what that might be. You're going to have to ask God to reveal that to you. If there's something in your life that you're holding on to that you need to give to Him. I'm going to tell you this, it's a hard thing to do. But oftentimes it's the thing that needs to be done for God to do another work in your life. To take you closer to Him and to new heights as a person, as a human, as a leader. Whether that's in your home, your workplace, wherever you are, if you submit fully to Christ, you're allowing Him opportunity to use you at greater levels. Verse 14, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. We're going to take that verse as we close today. Actually, I'm not going to end there. I'm not going to go in Romans anymore, but I want to hit one other topic real quickly this morning. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Let me clarify one thing. Paul is not saying in here that you no longer have to live by the laws. What he's saying is you're not judged by the law, now you're judged by the grace of God. We've already addressed the whole idea of sinning more so that God's grace might increase. Right, we know that's not the case. The idea here is that as we submit to Christ, as we begin to fully give Him everything we are, and we realize that we are dead to the power of sin, but we are alive in Jesus Christ, our lives are automatically going to align with the laws. Okay, does that make sense? When you're living a life for Christ, you're not living against the law, you're living in it. I hope that thought is clear. I've heard a lot of discussion back and forth really recently of like, is the law gone? Well, no, it's not. It's not gone. It's there. The law gives us a compass so we can see if our life is right or wrong. But if we are aligning ourselves with Christ and living in Him, understanding that He has given us power over sin and He has brought us to life, and we allow that to guide our lives and our thought processes, then we're automatically aligning ourselves with the laws that God has given us to live by. It allows us to put our attention more on serving those around us than focusing on what we're doing and if we're breaking laws or not. See, it's really easy to take our lives and take this checklist of laws and say, am I following this one? Am I doing this one? Am I doing that one? But there's a reason that Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment of all is to love your brother as yourself. Be willing to die for those around you. Servanthood, compassion. Because when you're loving each person around you as Christ loves us, you cannot do wrong to them. That's where your heart is aligning with the law of God. And instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. About 49 days ago, we celebrated Easter. And you might ask, well, why is that important? First of all, Easter, I think, has its own, I know it has its own importance. We celebrate it for a reason. We celebrate it because it's the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's the day that we were able to be reunited with God through believing in Jesus and what He has done through His death and resurrection. 49 days following that, let's take this through the whole step. 49 days ago, Easter Sunday. 9 days ago, Ascension. The day Jesus Christ was in front of His disciples and He said, if I do not leave, then I cannot send you my helper. And he was ascended into heaven. The disciples were standing there and they witnessed Jesus rise to heaven. And soon after that, as they're staring into the sky, probably like I'm sure we all would, an angel appears and says, "What are you doing? Why are you standing here staring at the sky? Go and do what you were told." That's a summary. I'm not quoting anything. Trust me. Today is Pentecost Sunday. 49 days following the resurrection of Sunday is the day that the disciples and many other believers were meeting in the upper room of a home. As they were commanded to do in Jerusalem, Jesus told them, "Go and wait until I send you your help." We, as an Assemblies of God church, believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that He is among us, that He is at work, not just here. I'm not speaking about this building. I'm speaking about in each and every one of us. He is the one that draws us into salvation. He is the one that empowers us to go and do more. He is the one that gives us gifts to serve the church. John 16, verse 7 says, "I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus tells us in other passages of Scripture that, that He is giving to us a full endowment of the power He was given. Jesus was given the power of creation. He was there when earth was created. The power to heal. The power to bring people back to life. The power to counsel. To help restore. Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit to be our counselor, to give us wisdom, to give us discernment, to give us gifts, which include preaching, teaching, healing. There's more. I'm not that good at remembering everything off the top of my head. But to the representation of today, is the day in history when the disciples were meeting in that upper room. And this is still around the feast of the Jewish laws and customs. So there's thousands upon thousands of people in Jerusalem. They're there for their yearly gatherings. And these men are meeting in this room and all of a sudden they experience this just this amazing wind coming through the upper room. They said, just like this, you know what, let's do this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers." In Acts chapter 2, it's talking about the day of Pentecost when Jesus sent the counselor to the believers. The only gift we see initially spoken about was the gift of speaking in tongues. There are many more. This is considered to be the initial physical evidence of being filled with the Spirit. What that means is It's the evidence that when you see it, when you hear it, you know that person is filled with the Holy Spirit. What I want to say, I could preach this topic for a long time, and I'm not going to. But I want to call our attention to this being the day that the Holy Spirit was sent to his disciples. What I also want to call your attention to is that each and every day since then, the Holy Spirit has been filling people, coming on them, giving them power, giving them wisdom. And that is something that as believers we need to desire, that we need to focus on, that we need to be asking for in our prayer, is that the Holy Spirit would fill us and would give us the gifts that God has intended for us. And what I need you to understand, when that takes place, something in you will change. And right now, if you're sitting here and you have never experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like coming out of your shell. Like you've been in this, maybe a better analogy is a cocoon. God's been forming you and working on you and putting everything into place. And then when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's like you just bloom out of this cocoon and you've got these amazing gifts and these amazing things that God has gifted you with. They're beautiful in their own ways. You see, God has those for each and every one of us, and they're different for each and every one of us. But there's something that we need to seek. And when we receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, God can continue to work in us in deeper ways and use us in more powerful ways for his kingdom. I'm going to close this morning in a word of prayer. I would ask before I pray that if you are seeking more out of your relationship with Jesus, maybe you feel like you're just kind of stuck in a spot and you don't know how to get past it. I would encourage you as you leave to be praying, asking Jesus to show you if there's something in your life that you need to give to him, first of all. If there is, give it to him. Do it. Confess. Give it back to God. Release it to him so he can work in your life. Secondly, I would say you need to go home. You need to read the scriptures concerning the Holy Spirit. Acts is an amazing book documenting what the Holy Spirit is doing through his people and the church. 1 Corinthians is a great book that details in greater ways the gifts that the Spirit gives. Seek God. Ask him to send the Holy Spirit to you. And I'll tell you this, you need to do it with everything you are. If you start that process, it's not really likely that you're going to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit on the first time. I'm not going to say it's not possible, because it is. But you need to seek after being filled with the Spirit. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your passage in Romans that Paul's given us. I thank you for so clearly telling us about being free from the power of sin and death in our lives, and encouraging us in our faith. Father, I just pray and ask for each person in this place that you would open our eyes to see if there's something we're holding on to that we need to release to you so that you can have everything we are. I ask, Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see what it is that you have for us and the plan and the purpose you have for our lives. Father, I pray and ask a blessing over each person that you would send a fresh filling of your Spirit. that they would realize the full extent of what it is you are doing. We thank you, Jesus. Pray a blessing over each person this day. Ask that you just give us safe travel as we go. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming out today. Hope to see you again next week.